Okay, so I was asking you this off tape, but I'll ask you here now. Describe a little bit more about who this kid was.
So Chris Hans was 14. He was a very smart kid. He was a product of divorce. He had lived for years with his father in Wyoming. He had just gotten the chance to live with his mother in Lewistown. There were certain requirements for him to stay with his mother, including good grades, which he was not achieving. You know, I've had very limited contact with him now, but he's very well read, very well spoken, very intelligent man.
And the reason why he was coming to this French class was because he was angry at the teacher for bad grades?
Right. He was flunking French, and I think he felt like he needed to make a statement about flunking French. She was a pretty hard teacher, and he shouldn't have, he was a freshman, he shouldn't have been in that class, but he had taken enough French that his advisor felt like he would be okay with it, and maybe it was just a little bit too much for him to deal with. Good idea.
You testified against him. He was tried as an adult. What was it like to testify against this kid who you knew?
It was absolutely terrifying. I hadn't seen him since the shooting. I knew his family wasn't thrilled that I was doing it. Luckily, I was very well deposed by the district attorney and had practiced a lot. And I had the support of my parents and classmates that showed up to support me for it.
How did the aftermath of his of the shooting that he committed compare with the kid you knew before?
You know, that's a really interesting question. I've never thought of that. I'm assuming he grew up real fast. I'm assuming he went right to prison.
He was 14.
At 14. And so he spent his very formative years in prison. In my head, anyway, he went from my best friend's brother to a monster. But I know that he's really not. I know that he's very well read, very well spoken, very intelligent, tried really hard in prison to better himself. So I balance that idea of a monster against someone who's trying to really change themselves.
If you could talk to him today, what would you say?
Oh, I think I'd give him a hug, and I'd ask him why, and I'd ask him how we can fix it, what he would like to do to fix it.
What would you hope to hear?
I would hope that maybe he would want to help, you know, maybe with some anti-bullying and more kindness, and I'm not real sure where his stances are gun control-wise, but, and in his particular, I mean, he stole the gun from his stepfather. So I'm not sure more gun control would really help it, the situation in his situation, but I'd like to know where he stands on that for sure.
When you're living in a place like Cortez, you're comparing it off tape to this small town in Montana. There are still a lot of people who, I mean, I guess it's safe to say there's a lot of people who disagree between two different narratives, and it's sort of, they sort of mirror the national narratives. What's that like for you to live in when people are kind of having shouting matches about these, but you've actually witnessed this?
Right. So I gave a speech in Oklahoma City for March 24th that I was super proud. That was my first public speaking about it ever in my whole life. And so I was super proud of that.
That was this year, in 2018?
Yeah. After I gave my speech, I went to my sister's house and got woken up at 2 a.m. by friends calling me because they were so upset that I had given my speech. They didn't even really, I made very little reference to gun control. They didn't know my stance on gun control. They just assumed that I wanted to take all guns away just based on the fact that I gave a speech about my shooting. I feel like it's two separate issues. I feel like the shooting, what happened to me is one issue. And that involves mental health, for me anyway, you know, and PTSD and things like that. And me having to be an advocate now, that's different than what needs to happen for the country. And I wish people would realize that the time is now to fix this. It's so important because kids are dying. Teachers are dying. I don't understand why a piece of metal is more important than that.
Is there anything else you want to add since we're on tape here that you would feel is important to say?
We've got to fix this, folks. The time is now. We have to get past our own personal concerns, our own personal priorities, and have a national discussion about how this is going to get fixed. It has to get fixed. We can't keep being the world leader in mass shootings. We can't. That's inexcusable.
That's Kathleen Davidson. Thanks so much.